This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Thanks for being here this afternoon as we cover a lot of different subjects of interest to Douglas County. And today, an opportunity to find out about an organization that perhaps you are not familiar with. Mark Kochanski is the Executive Director of Guardian Partners. He joins us going around the region and from Portland. Thanks for being here.
Hi, thank you very much for having me, Kyle.
So I guess, first of all, explain what Guardian Partnership, what you're all about.
Yeah, so we are a private nonprofit organization. We've been around 9 years. Our work is protecting people, adults with cognitive disabilities, specifically folks under guardianship care. And I think it's worth taking a minute to explain what guardianship is. You know, It's a legal responsibility. It has a pretty specific meaning, but unless you've ever, you know, been guardian or known someone who was under guardianship care, you might not know what it actually means.
Because it's really set up, if I understand it. I mean, this is like an official thing. This is not just saying you're a guardian of someone, you know, in the traditional
sense. It's very
sense.
Formal, and it's, right. It's a very powerful arrangement. So that's why it's worth taking a moment to sort of define it. And it adding to the confusion, it changes state by state, right? So guardianship in California and Washington means something different than it does in Oregon. But in Oregon, someone might find themselves appointed under guardianship care when they have a significant cognitive impairment, right? And then it's a legal process. Another human being is appointed to make fundamental life decisions on behalf of this person with cognitive impairment, and that's a guardianship. In this state, what that means is making decisions about the physical well-being and safety of the protected person. That's the person with disability. I say physical and medical well-being because to draw a distinction from the financial well-being. So there's a separate role called conservator, which handles the finances of someone with disability. So a person with a cognitive impairment will commonly be appointed a guardian, and in some cases, depending on how many assets they have, they may also be appointed a conservator to handle the money.
Now, would this person that's appointed often be a family member, or does it really vary?
It varies. It is most commonly a family member. There's three types of guardians. The most common one we see is what we call a family guardian or a non-professional guardian, right? And to use an example, that might be like if you or I have a loved one who is starting to suffer with dementia and then we step forward as their guardian and become appointed, we'd be a family guardian or a non-professional guardian. And it's worth pointing out, these are people who haven't signed up for this, right? There's nothing in your background that makes you ideally suited for this role. You just want the best for your loved one, and so, you know, you're willing to step forward and fulfill this role. We also have professional guardians. Those are people who take a training and get certified and make their living serving as professional guardians for people with disabilities. And then the least common, but it's an important resource, there in the state of Oregon, we have public guardianship. So people who are truly indigent and don't have a loved one who can serve as guardian and cannot afford a professional guardian may apply for public guardianship, and the state of Oregon has an office that can fill that role.
And I, looking at your video this morning, where it really kind of clicked for me, is that this is very similar in a different interpretation or a different situation, kind of like what the role of CASA is.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, Kyle. So Guardian Partners is relatively new. We've been around 9 years, and we don't have a lot of visibility around the state. That's why this opportunity is so great, and I'm so appreciative. But yeah, a lot of people are familiar with the CASA program. That's a national program where the court appoints volunteers to be assigned to a family, kids in foster care, to sort of look after them and make sure that things are going well. We operate very similar to the CASA model, except the people we're serving are adults with cognitive disabilities. And those folks fall into a couple of broad categories. Folks will find themselves in guardianship because of a developmental disability, age-related dementia, which may or may not be Alzheimer's, a traumatic brain injury, or a persistent mental health situation. Those are the factors that would typically lead to guardianship. And our model is we train volunteers to check in on these people and do a thorough wellness assessment. So this might be a good opportunity for me to elaborate a little bit more on what our volunteer monitors do.
Sure.
I should start by saying they're very well trained. When a volunteer comes on board with Guardian Partners, they get about 12 to 15 hours of training. It's a combination of online training and in-person training and then some job shadowing. But when they're assigned a case, we work very closely with the county court system. So the local court may have a guardianship that has caused a concern, right? There's been a complaint, maybe mail's been returned and they have a sense they don't know where people are living. Some red flag has come up. They can send out one of our volunteers and that volunteer will do three interviews. They'll interview the protected person. That's the legal term for the disabled person, right? So that's interview number one. They'll interview the guardian and they will interview at least one professional caregiver in the situation, someone like a doctor or a therapist or a caseworker. And then our volunteer writes a report. That's a very important document. It's about 10 pages long. It comes to us at Guardian Partners and then it gets filed with the local county court. There's a lot of important things that can happen when that report gets filed. If our volunteer has seen that this family has unmet needs, that the disabled person has some unmet needs, that's a great opportunity to share some resources. If we've seen something more serious, you know, like the guardian isn't really doing their job, or the guardian is themselves aging or becoming sick and no longer really up to the task, then we can bring those concerns to the court and say, you know, you may want to intervene here. And sometimes we see something even more alarming. You know, we see someone who is overtly being taken advantage of or being abused or someone who is in immediate harm. Though happily, those cases are pretty rare, but every year we see a couple of them and they serve as a very extreme reminder of why this oversight work is important.
Now, I would imagine hearing all your descriptions there, people listen and realize that these kinds of issues and this kind of need has been there for a long time. How is it that the organization itself is just 9 years old?
Yeah. So I like to talk about how we were founded because it does a nice job in a short amount of time of sort of explaining the premise behind Guardian Partners. The idea came primarily from a judge, Judge Catherine Tennyson. She sat on the bench up in Multnomah County, and she handled the probate bench. And what that means is the proceedings like guardianship. And she found herself appointing people into guardianship care with a sense of unease. And she had two main concerns every time this happened. One, you know, she saw this well-meaning family member who was willing to step forward, but, you know, do they have the resources to be good at this job? You know, even if their intentions are good, do they have the knowledge to be good at it? And secondly, if things go poorly, how will I learn about it? The court does not have a lot of oversight in this area. It's very easy for people living under guardianship care to be living their lives without a lot of eyes on them. You know, nobody's there around to check to see if things are going poorly. So Judge Tennyson, along with a lot of other people who cared about guardianship, other attorneys, attorney Ellen Clem, who now works in the Attorney General's office, was critical at the early stage. They got together in the summer of 2012, I believe, and started doing the work of founding a nonprofit. They imagined a nonprofit that would train volunteers to fill this gap, to check in on people after they'd been appointed into guardianship, to make sure things were going well, that there were no signs of abuse or neglect, and if there were gaps to be filled, to help share resources. We monitored our first case in the summer of 2014 in Multnomah County. And in the 9 years since then, we have grown to serve 15 counties, including Douglas County. We've been serving Douglas County for 4 years now.
Now, did you join the organization when it was formed?
Good question. I do not want to claim credit for that. I was hired in 2018. So no, I was not around at the very beginning. I was hired in about year four. But we've had a lot of growth in my time as executive director with the organization. When I was hired, we were serving four counties and we had a staff of four. And today we're serving 15 counties and we have a staff of seven. This year, it looks like we're going to be on track to monitor about 200 guardianships across the state of Oregon. And then there's our training program, which I haven't had a chance to talk about yet, but we offer online trainings for newly appointed guardians and other fiduciaries. And it looks like almost 4,000 people across the state are going to be viewing those courses this year. So we're really having an impact and touching a lot of lives.
All right, we're going to talk more about it when we get back. The interview, a podcast after one at 541radio.com, 1246 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson at 1. Later this afternoon, Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show with Douglas County's Commissioner of Dirt. And tomorrow, we are on location. I'll be out at Aviva Health on Northeast Kenneth Ford Drive, the Aviva Vets and Their Pets event, helping veterans and showing them the respect that Aviva has for what they've done over the years. So we'll be out and about with that one tomorrow. Mark Kachansky in studio with us, Executive Director of Guardian Partners, an organization that 9 years ago began and is obviously getting a lot bigger. And while you've got a small staff, it sounds like volunteers are very crucial to how it operates. Talk about what's involved in being a volunteer. How do people get trained, et cetera?
Yeah. So we do have a relatively small staff, seven people at the organization, but we have about 45 trained volunteers. So I really want to stress this is a volunteer-led effort. You know, most of the direct service that we're providing, checking on people with cognitive disabilities, almost all of that is being done by volunteers. So before I go any further, I want to give a shout out to our amazing volunteers. We have two volunteers right here in Douglas County, Cody and Ashley. They're fantastic. In fact, I just had coffee with Ashley. She's wonderful. The volunteer component is really what allows our monitoring to happen. You know, we don't have the capacity to monitor cases in all the 15 counties where we serve. It is very important to us to recruit and train local volunteers to serve their local community because they're going to do the best job for a whole variety of reasons. Local volunteers are going to be most familiar with the local resources. They are simply closer. It's easier for them to get to, you know, to conduct these interviews, which we prefer to be done in person. And there's something to be said for the credibility and the relationships that you have by serving people in your own in your own area. So we have recruited volunteers across the state in every county that we serve, and we have a strong value of showing up in person as often as we can. You know, I'm coming up the road now from a meeting that I had yesterday in Jackson County where we grew to last fall to check in and make sure that the judges there were satisfied with our program. Things there are going well. Things are going very well here in Douglas County as well. We have been sent on some difficult cases where we were able to make a big difference in people's lives, I think it's fair to say. But as I mentioned, we have only two volunteers in this county, and we certainly could use we could use some more.
So how is the organization, how's the funding work for you as staff and for all the infrastructure?
Great question. So let me take a step back. A moment ago, we were talking about how the organization was founded. The founders dreamed of this nonprofit that would train volunteers to do monitoring. Great idea. So as they were doing that work, it's sort of logically flowed. Well, if we're going to start checking in on guardians to make sure that they're doing their jobs well, don't the guardians deserve some kind of training at the beginning? And so our education program was born. And so it's essentially a two-pronged strategy that we've been operating on for 9 years. If you think of the life of a guardianship, at the very beginning when the guardian is appointed, that guardian is sent by the court to us at Guardian Partners to watch an online course. there's a fee attached to that course. The different fiduciary types have different fees, but the one we're talking about, guardians of adults, there's a $100 fee for that course. They watch it. It's about an hour. When they complete the course, we file a certificate of completion with the county court, so the court is satisfied, okay, this person's actually done it. They've actually got this knowledge, okay? So that we could think of as the first time that we would touch a family's situation, a guardianship situation. At any point during the life of that guardianship, if the court has a concern, they might contact us again and ask us to send a monitor out to do a check, you know. So that, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, that's the point when the volunteer would go out and interview the disabled person, interview the guardian, interview a doctor or a therapist to get a good idea of that person's wellness, making sure that they're living in safety and dignity. I think it's important to stress that in almost all of the cases we see, the guardian really has good intentions. You know, they're looking after a loved one. They do want the best for that person. They're often falling short, but they're usually falling short because they don't have resources, often living in poverty. They're burned out, right? It's hard work caring for a disabled loved one, or they themselves are aging and getting sick. So for all those reasons, they may have great intentions, but they're falling short. That's where our volunteer can step in and help connect people with resources. I'll give you a great example. I just learned of this one. This was a case we monitored recently down in Jackson County. We found out that the protected person, again, that's the person with disability, they were having trouble getting to the dentist, but they needed dental care. They had mobility issues. Our volunteer was able to find a mobile dental program that would go out to the home and provide dental care. I thought that was wonderful. I've never heard of such a thing. But our volunteer was able to find that and connect them to the resource. So that is a very tangible example of how we're able to help a family out with some resource they were unaware of before. In rare cases, we stumble upon something more insidious. You know, we will find a case that there's something very serious going wrong. And maybe this is a moment for me to cite a few examples.
Sure.
Okay. We were sent on a case earlier this year. I'm not going to name the locality. We'll just say it was in a rural part of Oregon. An older woman had been appointed into guardianship care. Her daughter was named her guardian. Now, mom had been living very successfully and even owned her own business until very recently. And her mental health took a very sudden and dramatic decline. The daughter went to court and was appointed guardian and conservator. She moved her mom into a memory care facility several hours away. The daughter immediately started liquidating mom's assets. She emptied the retirement account. She sold the car. She even sold her mom's burial plot. And she put the house on the market. That is the point Guardian Partners was contacted, and we sent one of our volunteers out. So that's where we get involved. Our volunteer, Nancy, who's fantastic, shout out to Nancy, immediately saw red flags. And, you know, it was pretty clear from the beginning that things weren't adding up. It turned out the mother did not have a cognitive impairment, at least not a permanent one. What she had was a urinary tract infection. And if you know anything about urinary tract infections, they're common in the older community. And this is a common symptom. While the infection is going on, your cognition goes down very dramatically. But guess what? When you get on an antibiotic, your cognition comes back just as fast. And that's what happened in this woman's case. She found herself in a memory care facility. She had completely regained her functions, and she couldn't sign herself out because her daughter had all the control.
Wow.
Yes. So to get to jump to the end of the story, we filed a report which shared with the local court everything that we had seen. The outcome was the court terminated both the guardianship and the conservatorship. On the very day that happened, the woman signed herself out of this care facility, rented a car, and drove herself home. She was able to drive herself back to her house because we were able to intervene before the house could be sold. So a lot of damage had been done, you know, the retirement account, etc., but the house had been preserved. That is a very extreme case. It's very uncommon that we see something so overt and alarming, but it serves as a good example of why this work is important. If we hadn't been appointed, when would it have been discovered, right?
Wow. So we've got about a minute left on Inside Douglas County. What do you want to let people know about if they find this of interest and maybe something they'd like to help with?
As I said earlier, we need volunteers, especially right here in Douglas County. We have monitored 4 cases this year, and we would like the capacity to do a lot more. If you'd like to get involved as a volunteer, that's the most important thing you can do. We'll offer you support and excellent training. Find us online at www.guardian-partners.org. Or it may be easier to just Google Guardian Partners. You'll find us. And there's information there about how to get involved as a volunteer. Or if it's easier for you, you can just give us a phone call. We're happy to hear from you at 971-409-1358.
And again, you're really seeking to get more volunteers in this area because you're really seeing a need here.
Yeah, some of the cases we've been sent on in Douglas County have been pretty serious. And if we have more trained volunteers, we'll be able to check in on more people with cognitive disabilities.
All right, so folks can connect with you and get all the information about volunteering. What's the website again?
www.guardian-partners.org. So it's guardian-partners.org.
Mark Kachansky is the Executive Director of Guardian Partners. Thanks for coming in this afternoon.
Thank you so much, Kyle.
1250 8 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.